Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Oppo Realme 1, which is a new smartphone in the budget segment. Now, Oppo is a Chinese smartphone manufacturer that is owned by a company called BBK Electronics. BBK Electronics also owns another two brands which you may have heard of. These are called Vivo and OnePlus. So yes, Oppo, Vivo and OnePlus are all part of the same company. Now, Oppo Realme 1, this is taking on the Xiaomi Redmi lineup. More specifically, perhaps the Redmi 5 and the Redmi Note 5 Pro. So there are a whole bunch of Xiaomi phones in roughly the same price segment, and Oppo is apparently taking on all of them. So there are so many things here which are really, really interesting that we really want to discuss. And to do that, we have the person who's reviewing the Oppo Realme 1. That's Shobhit Verma.
Hello, guys. I'm Shobhit here.
Yeah, so Shobhit has just recently joined us. So he writes features, he does reviews, and he is your go-to person for all things audio as well. So Shobhit, welcome to the podcast. And I think it's, you know, first maybe we should be talking about how Oppo is sort of taking on Xiaomi in this budget segment. And maybe, just maybe, people will notice that Realme sounds a lot like Redmi. The fonts they use, they look a bit like the fonts that Xiaomi uses for its branding. And I think that Oppo doesn't really need to sort of copy this whole Xiaomi naming scheme and maybe the fonts they use and all of that. I think it's a bit of an underhanded tactic, but it clearly seems to me like Oppo is pretty strong in the mid-range segment, but they want to make inroads in the budget segment, and they probably thought that this is the best way to do it, like take on the market leader in that segment. What do you think?
Yeah, Oppo has clearly realized that Xiaomi's Redmi lineup is the most prominent lineup of phones in the budget segment, and they are taking it head-on too, literally. I mean, the whole marketing campaign of the phone has revolved around the brand being a Xiaomi Redmi killer. And the phone, if you look at the phone, the Realme branding at the back looks a lot like Redmi. I mean, in fact, we were just discussing this amongst ourselves yesterday that they are successful because we ourselves keep on calling the phone Redmi by mistake. I mean, when I was writing the review, I was writing Redmi in my draft again and again by mistake because that's just how it happens, right? And I mean, the marketing material they have set up, even the marketing material they sent us, they're comparing the phone directly to the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro. So I think they're it's quite evident where Oppo's, you know, competition lies and what they're trying to achieve with the brand. Both the phone and the brand is a Xiaomi killer and the phone is a Redmi Note 5 Pro killer. So I mean, yeah, you can call these underhand tactics, but you know, these are the kind of things that work in the market. People will see Realme and they will connect it with Redmi, so.
Yeah. So moving on to things that Oppo has not copied from Xiaomi, Realme One's design looks quite unique to me. They have that whole mirror finish with like that cut design at the back. Looks quite striking, I believe.
Yeah. So it has, the Realme One has a fiberglass body with what Oppo says is a glossy diamond cut effect on the back. So basically, the back panel of the phone reflects light in different ways. And the panels make it look like a diamond. So the design is definitely unique and snazzy, but it can look across as gaudy to some people. I mean, people who are used to simple designs, you know, offered by Xiaomi smartphones, simple metal smartphones, might look at this phone. Like, a lot of my friends were divided upon the design of this phone. Some said that it looks unique and it looks very snazzy. Some actually compared it to a kid's toy. So the design is very polarizing. That's what I'll say. It's unique. I'll give Oppo that, but it's a little polarizing.
Yeah, but you know, like once again, I'm coming back to the same point which we made earlier, which is I can't understand why Oppo hasn't like put this up offline. If nothing else, they could have this for demo in many of their offline stores so that people
want to buy this. Yeah, exactly. And
this
is exactly the kind of thing that, you know, is kind of a feature that you can show off. Yeah. Because frankly, the back design is such that it's very, the word for it is, I don't want to use it, but it's a little gaudy. So it's something that you can really, you know, show it off in the light and see how the light is bouncing off the back, see how attractive it is. So, you know, there's a huge audience out there that likes such designs, and that is, you know, justified by the fact that there are so many iPhone covers out there which are so blingy, and they sell so much. So bling sells. Blink yeah. sells a lot.
So moving on to things that are beyond just the looks of the phone. I think you did speak about the fact that it has a fiberglass body, but what do you think about the build quality? Does it feel sturdy or does it feel like slippery and something that would easily break?
Yeah, so when it comes to build quality, there are a few pointers that you all need to know. First of all, the phone uses fiberglass on the back. The build quality is quite impressive, considering the fact that the sides of the phone are made of plastic. I mean, I actually tried bending the phone. I mean, Oppo, if you're listening, nothing happened to it. So your build quality is quite good. I mean, obviously a metal frame would have, you know, felt better in the hand. But I guess for the price that they're offering, a fiberglass finish and a plastic frame is good enough. And also because of the fact that I dropped this phone numerous times and really nothing happened to it. So I think that's testament to the fact that it's built quite well. And also the fiberglass back is really, really a fingerprint magnet. So if people who are really OCD about their phones and want them to be really clean, they should put a case on top.
Yeah. But, you know, once again, I mean, we spent so much time saying that, okay, the design is unique, it looks great and all that. And ultimately, if you're going to be putting a case, it's the same case as the jet black iPhone, which was on the other end of the spectrum in terms of pricing, obviously. Looks beautiful.
A glass back always brings that compromise. It looks very good. It looks very snazzy, but it's a huge fingerprint magnet unless it's matte. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm reviewing the Honor 10 right now and it has the same issue. So, I mean, I think it's the pros and cons that you get with a glass back.
Yeah, and you know, without digressing too much, we can also safely say that in the near future, we are going to be seeing an increasing number of phones with a glass back simply because wireless charging is apparently taking off. So in the higher end, at least, we are increasingly seeing these phones now. And
it's not just wireless charging. If you've seen, there's a trend in 2018 that a glass sandwich, which is glass on the front, glass on the back, and a metal frame, is becoming increasingly the trend for smartphone design in 2018. Also the controversial notch, which thankfully this phone does not have, which is a big positive on my end.
Yeah, but don't worry. I mean, by the time Realme 4 or Realme 5 come along, the notch will also be there. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as we saw with OnePlus, OnePlus 5T didn't have a notch. 6 has
one. OnePlus 6 has one.
I guess that's the future.
Yeah. Right then. So, looking at the competition for this phone. Now, obviously, like we've made it abundantly clear that the Redmi Note 5 Pro is one of the biggest phones that the Realme 1 is targeting. But there is also the case of the Zenfone Max Pro M1, which right now offers better value for money than the Redmi Note 5 Pro. So, I mean, can you like talk about the Realme 1's specifications briefly and maybe then talk about how it compares against the other two phones?
Yeah, okay. So, the Realme 1 is available in three variants. So, the lowermost variant has 3 GB of RAM and 32 GB of storage, and is priced at 8,990 rupees. Then there's one with 4 GB of RAM and 64 GB of storage. This is priced at 10,990 rupees, and this will go on sale in June. And there's the top of the line variant, the one we reviewed, with 6 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage, which is really very good specifications. And this one is available for 13,990 rupees. Now, all three are powered by the Helio P60 processor, which is MediaTek's flagship chipset right now. The chipset is very impressive for the price. I mean, the benchmark scores we got were absolutely impressive. Oppo claimed before we got the phone that the Helio P60 outperforms the Snapdragon 636, which is found in both the Zenfone Max Pro and the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro in AnTuTu. We were a bit, you know, apprehensive that there's a bit of thing that the MediaTek chipsets are inferior to Snapdragon chipsets, but not only did the Helio P60 outperform the Snapdragon 636 in AnTuTu, it outperformed it in every single benchmark that we threw at it. I mean, it had a score of 8,000 plus in PCMark and more than 138,000 in AnTuTu, which compares to around 111,000 that we got with the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro, which uses the Snapdragon 636. And day-to-day performance as well was great in this phone. So if there's one thing of note in this phone, the Realme 1, is performance. This phone performs much more than its price tag, much better than its price tag would recommend.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's actually quite surprising to me, like the part that you mentioned about the benchmark scores. But you know, I would like you to elaborate a bit more on day-to-day performance. Like I do understand that you mentioned it briefly, but it would help our listeners a lot more if you know we explain to them what these benchmark scores actually mean in terms of real-world performance.
Yeah, so day-to-day performance with this phone was actually quite outstanding. I mean, I was. As I said before, I have been reviewing phones for 3 years, and most of the time, MediaTek chipsets perform very well in benchmarks, and they usually fail when it comes to day-to-day performance, especially in two areas, that is overheating and battery life. This phone did not overheat at all, even when we pushed it, when we ran intensive games like Asphalt 8, when we recorded videos in full HD, and battery life was surprisingly good. We got 11 hours and 30 minutes in our HD video loop test, and I did not run out of battery even after using the phone quite intensively till 12 or 1 a.m. in the night. And this phone handled everything that I threw at it. I mean, every basic day-to-day tasks, intensive workloads, multiple apps open in the background, multiple tabs open in Chrome. So when it comes to performance, this phone not only matches the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro and Zenfone Max Pro M1, but this might be a controversial statement, but somehow outdoes both of them. We reviewed the 6GB RAM variant. So the 3GB RAM variant might, the performance of the 3GB RAM variant might differ. The chipset is of course the same, but the lack of RAM might contribute to multitasking a little bit.
Yeah, so that is an important disclaimer, obviously. Even the 4GB RAM variant, I believe, would be quite capable of handling everything as well as the 6GB RAM variant does. But I would be interested in seeing how the 3GB RAM variant performs. But obviously, we'll probably, if we get a unit of that, we'll try and update this in our review later. But as of now, whatever we've used in the 6GB variant, it looks pretty good. But the one thing which you mentioned earlier, which is battery life, you said it was really, really good. Now, interestingly, if you look at the specifications, the battery capacity here is 3,410 milliampere hours, unless I'm mistaken. And the Zenfone Max Pro M1 has a battery capacity of 5,000 milliampere hours, whereas the Redmi Note 5 the Redmi Note 5 has a battery capacity of 4,000 milliampere hours. So does this really make a big difference, in terms of how long the phone lasts, even though the battery actually physically is smaller?
So one thing I have to say is that the Zenfone Max Pro really disappointed us when it comes to battery life. In spite of having a 5000 mAh battery, it lasted just around 12 hours and 2 minutes in our HD video battery loop test, and it ran out of battery around 9 to 10 p.m. at night with the same type of use as we were using the Realme one. So we were actually pretty surprised with the battery life of the Zenfone Pro Max M1, especially considering the 25-hour video loop battery life promised by Asus. And if I can just talk about the Redmi Note 5 Pro for 1 second, not the Redmi Note 5. The Redmi Note 5 Pro actually has the best battery life amongst all of these phones. It lasted 16 plus hours in our battery loop test, and that phone is capable of lasting 1.5 days with the same type of use. So if battery life is your primary concern, the Redmi Note 5 Pro is the best phone.
One more thing I want to check with you is camera performance. Because when people go to buy a phone, everyone wants to see how good the camera is, because this is now everyone's primary memory capturing device. So if you can elaborate a bit more on that, including how it performs in the night, then that would be great.
Yeah, so when it comes to camera performance, okay, let me just talk about the cons of the Realme in one go. So the cons of the Realme basically involve the camera, the cluttered software, and the fact that it lacks a fingerprint sensor. So we'll talk about all three one by one. So let's talk about the camera first. So the camera is not bad per se, but when you compare it to the other two phones that it competes with, the Redmi Note 5, let's talk about the Redmi Note 5 Pro and Redmi Note 5 compared to both of them, it's a little lacking, and the Zenfone Max Pro. So when it comes to daylight shots, the phone is fine. I mean, the level of detail, it captures quite a good amount of detail, but the dynamic range is lacking. So by dynamic range, what dynamic range means is the ability of a camera to capture the brightest and the darkest point in one image. So for example, if you go outside and you capture a scene in which the sky is bright and there are shadows on the trees, for example, so it will just blow up the sky. So that is one area where this camera really disappoints. And colors are not very accurate. So they are quite vivid and punchy, but they're not accurate. So yellow looks a bit fluorescent, pink looks neon pink. So that kind of disappoints. And when it comes to low light performance as well, the shots are good enough. They are not bad. For a 8990 phone, they are not bad for the 3GB RAM variant. But if you look at it for a 13990 phone, which is what the 6GB RAM variant costs, the camera performance disappoints. Both the Asus and the Redmi capture more detail in low light, and they are better. They have better dynamic range. Now let's talk about the fact that the phone lacks a fingerprint sensor. Now this is a big con in my opinion. Now the whole industry is moving towards facial recognition, and the Realme One has facial recognition built in, which is great. But facial recognition is not very reliable, and I personally feel it's a bit of a gimmick. You can't use it at night. You can't use it when the light is not adequate. Also, you can't use it when the sun is shining directly in your face. So fingerprint sensor is something that is extremely reliable. The technology has been honed over the years, and that is something that is prevalent in almost all of its competitors. So, I mean, if you're looking for a phone with a good amount of biometric security options, the Realme One is not a good choice.
Yeah, so since you did mention it, you are saying right now that the 4GB variant is probably the best value for money, because maybe 3GB RAM is a bit too less.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't used it yet, and it might be the case that the 3GB variant is also optimized well. But seeing how we have used the 6GB variant, and 4GB seems to be a nice sweet spot. And it's priced at 10,990, which is, in my opinion, at that price point, except for the Honor 9 Lite, there isn't any other phone right there which offers this blend of features. So I think the 4GB RAM variant is a great buy. Also, the 3GB RAM variant might suffer from the fact that the operating system on there, which is the third con of the phone, is quite cluttered. So the Asus has stock Android, while the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro and the Redmi Note 5 have MIUI. Now both the stock Android on Asus and MIUI on Redmi Note 5 are quite well-honed skins, which are fast, fluid and snappy. While ColorOS on the Realme One feels like a blast from the past in many ways, and it's quite a bit like an iOS clone. So, I mean, it's very cluttered. It feels like there's too much going on at times. The settings screen is difficult to find what you're looking for. The quick launch panel is cluttered with too many icons. And it's really hard to shake off the fact that the icons and the whole typography looks too much like an iOS clone. So, and it's not optimized very well. So that's also a reason to think that the 3GB RAM variant might struggle a bit.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense. I mean, I would assume that people will look at the price point and they would want to go for the 3GB variant, but it's maybe not the best decision. If this phone had stock Android, things would have been a lot different. But then Oppo even Vivo, both of these companies are known to be like going with their own customized version of Android, or they put a skin on top of Android, which looks a lot like iOS. Something that doesn't exactly work very well, because you're using Android after all. So
yeah, but a positive is that you get Android 8.1 out of the box, and also the security patch level is quite is 5th March 2018, which is quite up to date. So both Asus and Xiaomi have promised Android P updates for the Redmi Note 5 Pro and the Zenfone Max Pro, while there is no information as of now regarding the Android P update for the Realme One. So that is one thing also to take.
Yeah, I wouldn't be holding my breath for an update when if I buy this phone. I would probably just expect it to run on 8.1 as long as it does. And yeah, that's just fine by me. Once Android P ships, which will probably be like 3 or 4 months from now, we will see what happens at that point. If the phone is still around and still selling well, who knows, Oppo might actually push out an update. But I'm seriously not expecting it. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But anyway, do you want to say a quick note about this Color OS that Oppo uses before, you know, sort of we wrap up the episode? I know you did mention it briefly, but is there anything else apart from the fact that it looks a lot like iOS?
Yeah, so basically Color OS has, I mean, I just touched upon a few negatives of Color OS, but it has a few positive points as well. So there are a host of gestures and, you know, features on board, such as you can run dual versions of apps, you can run two instances of WhatsApp, two instances of Facebook. There are a lot of gestures on board. They're like a three-finger screenshot, you know, raise the phone to silence it and things like that. There's a powerful theming engine if, you know, anyone is into that. You can theme the phone to your heart's contention. There are lock screen gestures. You can draw a P to open, I don't know, the camera app. You can draw a W to open WhatsApp. You can do whatever. So it's very customizable that way. So, but as I said before, it has the fact that ColorOS looks a lot like iOS cannot be denied. And there are a lot of redundant applications on board. So you have Oppo's browser as well as Google's browser. You have Oppo's music app as well as Google's music app, Oppo's video app as well as Google's video app. And it's in dire need of simplification. I mean, if Oppo is listening, please simplify the settings screen. I mean, it takes me, a tech journalist, ages to find something. So, I mean, I can just imagine what regular people will suffer through.
I mean, the fact that it looks like iOS is not exactly a problem, because, you know, it's not like iOS looks bad or something. It's just that because they can't copy everything outright, they change things just a little and they do it in a really bad way. So if you look at the some basic things I'll just mention, if you look at the icon for messages, music, and for settings, so these are like exactly like stock iOS icons, except it looks like somebody just sat there and, you know, went to Photoshop and changed things around a little so that it doesn't look like a complete clone of iOS, and that makes it like look worse. It's clear that whoever copied this just wanted to make it look like iOS and not look like, you know, just as polished but in a slightly better way or something. So everything feels like a, you know, I don't know, like a very bad designer tried to make an iOS clone. And you know, that's what like is a real problem with the Color OS skin. It's not the fact that they clone, I mean, it's the fact that they've done it very badly.
Even the camera app is exactly like the one found on iOS, but I mean, that is something on Xiaomi's phones also. The camera app is a lot like the one found on iOS, so I guess that's something that we cannot put the blame solely on Oppo.
But that's also like a like, if we digress a little, that's an Android thing, right? Like there's no stock camera app, like a single camera app for every phone, because the chipset varies and the camera used in every phone varies a lot.
Yes, so true.
The Google camera app only works in certain phones such as the Pixel devices, whereas every other manufacturer is sort of building its own camera app and the experience is not always great. But, you know, as long as it works, it's fine. You know, I don't think there's that much of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to add to that, the fact is that the iOS style camera app works. I mean, Asus made their own camera app, which looks very original on the Zenfone Max Pro, but then we ended up criticizing it because it's so hard to use.
Yeah.
You know, settings like flash are buried within menus and there's a half-hearted pro mode. Some settings are somewhere, some settings are not. So I think we have to ask ourselves, is it better to have an app that looks like iOS but works, or an app that looks original but does not work?
So I think it's time to wrap up this episode of Orbital. But, you know, before we do that, Shobhit, any closing thoughts on the Oppo Realme 1?
Yeah, so just a few things to mention, which are the fact that this phone does not have a hybrid dual SIM slot. So the tray has three separate slots for both the SIM cards and the micro SD card.
So that that's is quite amazing.
So, I mean, most smartphones, even flagships, you know, present a hybrid SIM slot, which is quite annoying. And I think they have really tapped onto the mindset of the budget market here, because many people like using dual SIMs, and considering that you're already getting 64GB storage out of the box and you can expand it without sacrificing on the second SIM, is quite a big win for the Realme. Also, I don't remember if you talked about this or not, but the fact is that overall, I mean, just summing up the phone, the 4GB and 3GB RAM variants of the Realme, despite the few negatives, are extremely good value for money and are sure to give both Xiaomi and Asus sleepless nights. I mean, it's great to have a phone now, which for sure we will include in our best under 10,000 buying guides. And now people have a sure competitor for a Redmi Note 5 Pro or a Redmi 5 under the 10,000 or just above the 10,000 price bracket. But the 6GB RAM variant, which is for 14,000, is hard to recommend. Because both the Asus and this, the Zenfone Max, the Redmi Note 5 Pro, are more well-rounded phones. They have better cameras, they have better displays, and more important, they also have fingerprint sensors. So, if you are in the market for buying this phone, just do not consider the 6GB RAM variant. That's an advice from my end. But if you are in the market for the Redmi 5, which is priced at 9,000, or the Redmi Note 5 entry-level variant, which is for, I think, 8999 and 9999, please consider the Realme 1.
Okay. So when does the Realme 1 go on sale, or has it gone on sale already?
Yeah, so the 3GB RAM variant and the 6GB RAM variant are going to go on sale on 25th May.
And we are recording this on the May 17th, so 8 days from the day of recording.
However, the 4GB RAM variant, which we are recommending, is going to go on sale sometime in June. So you'll have to stay tuned to Galaxy 60 to know more about that.
Yeah, so as of now, I mean, the only thing that's, you know, in common between all these three phones, apart from the fact that they are in the, you know, same price bracket, the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 and the Redmi Note 5 Pro, both are really hard to find. You know, it's not easy to like buy these phones because, you know, everyone wants them and they are not in stock easily. And, you know, based on like our review, at least looking at how well the phone has performed in spite of, you know, the few cons that it has, we expect the Realme 1 also to not be available that easily. So this is the one big problem, right? Even though we put these phones in our best phones under 15,000, under 10,000 lists, ultimately, if people can't buy them when they want them, what's the point of that recommendation? Ultimately, they will end up going to the market and picking up whatever is available, which may be something from another brand, which may be a phone that doesn't perform as well.
If Realme or Oppo can nail the release to market strategy and get their phones available, then I think they will have a huge leg up over Xiaomi and Asus. But I mean, I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, personally, even I don't see it happening, because as you mentioned earlier, it's the marketing hype strategy, right? If the phone is not available, then more people will want it. If it's available easily, then people are going to stop talking about it, right? So yeah, I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're on an Android phone, go to the Google app and search for Orbital Podcast Gadgets360 to find our show and to subscribe to it. If you are on Apple devices, just open iTunes on your Mac or go to the Apple Podcasts app on your iPhone. You can subscribe to us on that.